You're listening to UK Health Radio. I'm Dr. Dean Mitchell, and this is The Smartest Doctor in the Room, where real medicine meets real answers. Each episode, I bring you honest conversations with some of the brightest minds in health and medicine. Let's get started. Toxic mold exposure in the home is dangerous to your health. I see patients every week in my practice who are suffering from the effects of toxic mold. And in many cases, they were living in a home where they didn't even know mold was present. That's why I recommend to patients who suspect they are ill, possibly from toxic mold exposure, to obtain a test from Immunolytics, a company that specializes in mold detection with simple mold plates for your home or office. The mold plates are put in various rooms of your home and then left open for an hour. They are then closed up and you observe them for 5 days. If the mold plates show growth, you can send them back to Immunolytics and the company will analyze them and interpret the results for you. Please see the link in the show notes to order your mold plates from Immunolytics and use the code SMARTESTDOC to get a 5% discount. On today's episode, I believe you will hear one of the most dramatic stories I've ever had on this podcast. You know, the story to me is reminiscent of the hero's journey. And if you're not familiar, that's the Joseph Campbell mythology story. And I think my guest today epitomizes this story. He is a successful attorney whose life was nearly destroyed by mold exposure, an illness that went unrecognized, misdiagnosed, and nearly killed him. What makes this story even more remarkable is what he did next. He turned his experience into a mission so that future mold survivors would have an advocate in their battle in the medical system. This will be a conversation about illness, resilience, and accountability. My guest Alan Bell's story will resonate with anyone that I think has suffered with a serious chronic illness. If you do want a firsthand account, blow by blow, I do highly recommend his book, Poisoned. It's a page turner. I couldn't put it down once I began reading it. And it tells how he took on the medical battle with toxic mold, and then when he regained his health, the legal battles. It's really my enormous pleasure to welcome Alan Bell to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. You know, it's a pleasure to be here. Actually, it's an honor to be here. And thank you very much for your kind words. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really love the book. I mean, once I started reading it, it was almost like I just couldn't put it down. It was two days. It was done. Do you remember? And I know sometimes this is sometimes difficult to go back to, but do you remember your earliest symptoms, and did they come on gradually or was it suddenly?
Yeah, that's a good question. It came off as that I had a cold, like I felt like I had the sniffles. And then it progressed to the point where I felt like I had a flu. Then it progressed to the point where the flu didn't go away. And it ultimately morphed into a situation where I was experiencing grand mal seizures.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember, I think you mentioned in the book, like where you would just like completely collapse and your family would have to come and take you to the emergency room, or I think sometimes to the beach. It was weird how some of the things that you responded. So this was happening, and obviously you were previously a healthy person. Where did you start to turn? Did you just go to your general doctor? I mean, who did you, you know, you're obviously a bright attorney. I mean, where did you start to think about seeking medical help to figure out what's going on?
Well, you know, at the time this first happened, I was very healthy. I was an athlete. I really didn't have a doctor. I didn't need a doctor. So I just asked a couple of buddies, you know, who's your general practitioner? And that's where I started off. But as the illness progressed and became more and more severe, I went to more and more specialists. Maybe I probably lost count, maybe 200, 300 doctors,
Wow.
where I ended up. That's where I learned medicine. That's where I learned, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that's really where I learned how to do these toxic tort cases, because I experienced it firsthand. But back to your question, I ultimately went all over the country. I went to Mayo Clinic. I went to Cleveland Clinic. I went to National Jewish I Immune Hospital in Denver,
Right.
Colorado.
These are all the top hospitals.
Right. University of Miami, I went to medical school there. And they saw that the lab results were abnormal. They saw that the bloods were abnormal. But remember, those were the days before they knew what CFIDs were. They didn't know what mast cell activation syndrome was. They didn't know
Right.
any of that.
Fortunately, I've told patients this because they get frustrated also. Many of them have been to many doctors, is that there's not a tract. We're going to talk about that, where doctors are trained in this, which is really a form of environmental medicine. I mean, you have your gastroenterology tract, your urology, et cetera, dermatology. But for this type of environmental illness, which is becoming more and more prevalent, there really does not exist. I mean, I know I tell patients this all the time too. 10 years ago, I knew nothing about this. It wasn't until a couple of patients started to ask me, and I actually read, you mentioned, I think you had spoken or knew her, when I read Suzanne Summers' book, Toxic. It was eye-opening. And it introduced me to Richie Shoemaker at the time, who I did some work with. But yeah, it's, again, so many excellent doctors know very little about this. I want to ask you, I know that you did go to one place which was very interesting. I think it was Dr. Ray's clinic in Texas, correct?
Correct.
Well, yeah, now I had heard about that many years ago from, I think it was a Dr. Doris Rapp, who was sort of a unique female doctor in her time who dealt a lot with autism and environmental chemical exposures. And so this name came up, and I heard, and I read a little bit more in your book, and basically it was this clinic in Texas, which I think still exists, but I think Dr. Ray has passed. But it was like where essentially you went into this sterile hospital or unit, and that was essentially to hopefully help you heal or assess. Could you tell us more about that?
Hi everyone. I know you may already know from listening to my podcast that I specialize in treating patients with toxic mold exposure. It's become a serious problem for many years as we deal with the hurricanes and floods throughout the country. Even simple bathroom water leaks from a toilet in your home over time can contribute to mold buildup. I can help patients that suffer from the symptoms of toxic mold, but I also rely on the patients getting their current residence inspected so they are not continually being exposed. My go-to person for mold exposure is Joe Reese. Joe is a certified mold inspector with decades of experience. He is super thorough and gives you a straightforward assessment and tells you whether it's safe to live in your home or if there is mold. I should know, I used Joe when I moved to my new home 4 years ago. Fortunately, when I moved in, I smelled an unusual odor in my basement and I immediately called Joe. He came over with his instruments and he found the problem. Afterwards, I had remediation and the problem was solved. Joe does inspections all throughout the country. He welcomes calls to his cell phone at 908-451-4592. You can also reach him by email at jprconsultants7929@gmail.com. Remember, mold in your home is not a good thing, but thankfully it's a problem that can be fixed.
Sure. This was called the Environmental Health Center in Dallas. I went there in 1990. Bill Ray was the head doctor. He had other doctors working with him for him, including another doctor by the name of Albert Johnson, who I still am friends with to this day. And Dr. Ray's clinic was like a hospital. It was two floors of a big building. All the walls were made out of metal, porcelain metal, and all the floors were tiled. He had saunas in there. He had a special room where they would test for allergies and give preservative-free allergy shots. He had an immunologist, well, he called himself that. Guy's name was Bertie Griffin or Griffiths. I think he was trained in Jamaica, one of the islands. So he had really a self-contained unit. Now, the patients that were the most serious and the most hypersensitive, they couldn't travel, they couldn't stay in hotels or motels, and he would get patients from all over the world. I know that because I was there for many months and I met these patients.
Was it actually like a hospital, I mean, or in a sense, like because you lived there? Because a hospital, you picture you're laying in a bed in a room with another person. Was this like a little bit of an open ward thing, or like a residence, like where you had your own room and then you would go to, I guess, the clinic area?
So it was only for treatment. The people that came in from out of town, he had apartments that they rented across the street. And for the ones that were too sensitive, he had this place called Siegelville. Now, Siegelville was a community of porcelain trailers that people could rent if they were too sensitive to stay in a hotel, his hotel, or the hotel that they contracted with. They stayed in Siegelville. That's where I stayed. I was so hypersensitive, I couldn't stay in a hotel. So I rented a porcelain trailer in this little town called Siegelville, and it was a community of trailers, and they had this community kitchen where you would bring in your own organic food, and you would cook in this place that they called the cookhouse, okay? And I called this whole community the leper colony because
Well, that's what I
that's.
was going to ask you. What happens in medicine also, and you describe things so well in the book. So again, I really recommend anyone who's really interested in this material should read your book. But I think you mentioned it too. It's a combination of you want to get better, obviously physically. It's also psychologically. I'm not sure. There's sometimes when you're with, it's almost like I think to some degree, like when patients are going through chemotherapy. On one hand, they're probably a little bit depressed being around other people that are all getting chemotherapy. On the other hand, sometimes, patients can bond with other patients. What was your experience there? Was there a little more of a camaraderie, or was like every man for himself and you're trying to survive?
That's a good question. I think you need to overlay that on the circumstances that we're all facing. And that is, we were suffering from a disease that Orthodox medicine did not recognize. So right out of the get-go, we were considered crazy people, okay? Just imagine having an illness or a disease where you could not turn to a profession to help you. We were on our own. We were literally on our own. The profession that you would turn to for help scorned us. They thought we were crazy. They shunned upon us. And not only that, but your family and your friends. So it was a very difficult backdrop to even walk into. Once you're put into this situation with, Dr. Ray's clinic, where you're now intermixing with other patients that are in the same shoes as you, I think it was, I wouldn't call it a camaraderie, but I would call it, I would call it an environment where you finally felt like you were understood. You were understood by the doctors that you're going to, and you're also understood by the other patients, and you're sharing other stories with the same stories with the other patients, and they're identical. So it's like, oh my God, I'm not alone.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
that feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, did you really find also that you think the common theme was toxic mold? I mean, because as it seemed in your case, or is it unclear? You know, where a lot of them have, you know, because you know, I see a lot of these cases, and you know, I see a lot of mast cell activation, especially ever since COVID. But still, a lot, I would say the majority are toxic mold cases where patients either saw it in the home and didn't realize it was dangerous, or they were unaware that it was even in their home. So just, you know, looking back, was it known that toxic mold was a big issue for a lot of these people, or it was unclear?
Back then in the 90s, toxic mold was not even on the radar screen.
Wasn't on the radar.
The doctors weren't talking about it. Bill Ray wasn't talking about it. The clinical ecologists weren't talking about it.
Wasn't even a test for it. I mean, now I use like this urine mycotoxin. There probably wasn't even a test back then.
No, there was no mycotoxin urine test, you know, real-time labs that came up with this test decades later. And I know Dr. Hooper who invented that test.
Yeah.
He's quite a character.
You're in the who's who of, unfortunately, of all stars in this field. So that's true.
But yeah, in answer to your question, mold was not even on the radar screen. It was chemicals. I think, you know, chemicals did me in. My office moved into a brand new building, and there was no mold in the building. It was just chemicals. And,
oh, I didn't know that. I thought for some reason there was mold in the courthouses or something. Because I know those.
Well, there was mold in the courthouse. Yes.
Yes. Okay. But the combination. Well, it was like the double hit kind of problem.
Right. But I mostly got hit in the new building. And there were, you know, dozens of other people in the building that I was working in that became ill as well. And that was a chemical exposure. And if you ask me what chemical it was, we didn't have the technology to measure it back then. The certified industrial hygienist didn't have the equipment or the tests available to do that. So we were exposed to a toxic soup of chemicals that were all mixed together, and we all got sick. So most of Dr. Ray's patients were there because of chemical exposure. And one of the big villains were pesticides.
That's important, right? People don't realize. I mean, I cringe sometimes when I see these gardening guys go around and they're spraying and doing all this stuff with the pesticides. They're not even wearing masks. I mean, they should be in a hazmat suit.
Exactly.
Very scary. Wow. So you were there for several months. And then I think I remember reading the book, you went to Arizona, right? Was that the place where you thought you might be able to heal, the air quality might be better? Is that correct? Or you went back to Miami? I don't remember.
I went to Arizona, and I actually rented a house from one of Dr. Ray's patients in Tucson, and the outskirts of Tucson. So it was retrofitted. But before I went to Dr. Ray, I lived in the desert, in the middle of the desert, in an 800 square foot bubble for several years, in total isolation. There were no cars, no schools, no people, nothing. It was 50 miles in all directions of just cactus. And it was a little 800 square foot bubble that was specifically made for people that were chemically sensitive. And I ended up in a wheelchair on oxygen in that bubble for many, many years until I decided to go see Dr. Ray.
Oh, so you did that first before Dr. Ray.
Yeah.
You know, it almost sounds like it's really hair-raising. It almost sounds like being in solitary confinement. How did you psychologically, I know you mentioned about your daughter who sounds incredible. How did you, you know, it's like almost these people who are hostages in, you know, in Gaza or whatever. I mean, how did you psychologically, was it your faith? Was it any kind of things that you read, if you were able to read, because I know a lot of times it affects people mentally. How did you do it? I mean, I guess that's the part I was reading, and it was just incredible.
It's a good question, and the only reason why I was able to survive is because I knew that if I died, my daughter would become an orphan because my wife left me after I became ill and abandoned our daughter. And it was just me and my little daughter. I was in the middle of nowhere, tethered to an oxygen tank in a wheelchair. And the only tools that I had back then, there was no compute, personal computers or cell phones. All I had was a phone and a fax machine. And those became my tools in communicating with the outside world. And I fought like hell to survive because I knew if I didn't, my daughter would be an orphan.
So you had the
That's what kept
why.
me going.
Yeah, you had the why. That was your, I'm getting chills because, I know when I read that and I know some of the, dialogue you mentioned with your daughter, especially at such a young age. What a really incredible person. And yeah, I mean, I think it's true what they say about a parent's love for their child. What the heck, what they'll go through to survive. So that's really amazing.
If you've been following the podcast, you may know I practice holistic functional medicine and immunology. In fact, at Mitchell Medical Group, we've been treating chronic fatigue patients for 3 decades. It's critical in this work to have a trusted pharmacy that can compound medications for our sensitive patients' needs. ITC Pharmacy has been our go-to pharmacy the entire time. They can make medications ranging from thyroid hormones to dye-free medications for all of our highly sensitive, even allergic patients. If you or your holistic doctor are looking for these very specific patient medications, you can contact ITC at 888-349-5453. They have licenses throughout the country and can have medications delivered right to your doorsteps. My patients have been so pleased with their service. And you will be too.
And I know then after a while, after I guess the Dr. Ray's clinic, I think you, I don't know if you went back to Arizona again, but I remember you went to like California, which is where you are now. So what led you there?
So after Dr. Ray's clinic, I went to Tucson to try and survive there.
You were not in the
And
bubble, you were not in that bubble anymore. You were just in a clean home.
I was in a home that was retrofitted for someone that had multiple chemical sensitivity. It was actually one of Dr. Ray's former patients.
All right. Okay.
So it was a turnkey deal. I just went
Oh,
right
that was
in.
good. Okay.
And I discovered a doctor, a neuropsychiatrist by the name of, what was his name? It's in my book.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I'm trying to remember. Is he the one that prescribed gabapentin for you?
Yes, he was treating Gulf War vets, and he was having success with gabapentin and treating them who had a very similar, problem. Gulf War syndrome is very similar.
Right. They didn't realize that they were exposed to all those toxic fumes and,
So I flew out to Dallas on oxygen. He had me do an MRS. Magnetic resonance spectroscopy, brain scan, and he saw lesions in my frontal lobe of the brain, and he felt that I would be a great candidate for gabapentin, and he put me on huge doses of this. I was up to 4,800 milligrams a day. Yeah, and I was on that for decades. Okay, It got me out of the bubble. It didn't cure the illness, but apparently it had some kind of a modulating effect not only on my nervous system, but it also modulated somewhat my immune system as well. And it got me out of the bubble. And I started this Environmental Health Foundation. I got top research scientists on the planet with celebrities involved we can get into. And I jump back into the legal arena, helping other people get a key to the courthouse who have been poisoned themselves. I hooked
Unbelievable.
up with, I don't know if you've ever heard of the movie Erin
Oh,
Brockovich,
yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, Julie
but
Roberts did a very nice
her bosses,
job.
Masri and Vittito, I hooked up with them and they started sending me these toxic tort cases. And I also hooked up with another guy by the name of Jan Schlichtman. I don't know if you saw the movie A Civil Action starring John Travolta.
Yeah, I wouldn't even just say you're a survivor. You're a, what I call, like I say with my patients, you're a warrior, for sure, really. Talking about quoting on the top of your book, it's interesting. Robert Kennedy Jr., mentions here, and I think you told in a conversation we had before the podcast that you got to know him. At one point in his career, he was like, I guess, an environmental lawyer, or he was interested in that. Do you think that somebody like him, it would be such a s service to the medical community?
I know he has interest in it. I can't get
Yeah.
into why I know it, but let's just say that his family has personal experience with it.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
And I've been over his house. He endorsed my book.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A riveting read. I agree.
Let's just say that nobody is immune from poor air quality in their own home.
For
Nobody is
sure.
immune from it.
Yeah, for sure. It's not good
E
for
even
anybody.
him.
Yeah. What about also Dr. Claudia Miller, who was very involved, I think, early on with the Gulf War veterans? Is that where you ended up hooking up with her later on, or you never saw her as a patient, if you're able to say? I mean, because she
Yeah.
is also, she's like one of the original greats in the field, really.
Yeah, I know Claudia personally. When I was living in the Tucson house, she actually came and stayed with me back
Oh,
in
wow.
the early 90s. I had an environmental health summit at the Biosphere 2, and I invited her to be a part of that summit. She was on my scientific advisory board, and she was one of the pioneers in MCS. Not many people know it. But she's more or less retired. She's a professor emeritus, University of Texas,
Texas, yes,
San
San Antonio.
Antonio.
Yeah.
But she suffers from MCS herself.
No, she's mentioned it. I know she had a, I've talked to her. She's wonderful. She actually, there was a big interview in, I think it was called Wired Magazine, how she was very sick and went, I think before she went to Dr. Ray's clinic, she went to the other guy in Chicago, a William
Randolph.
Randolph, right. And, she was actually so interested. And he said to her, "You really should go to medical school," which is a big ask for somebody who's so ill, but she did, and she, true to her word, that's the field that she went into to make a difference.
Well, the irony with all this is that I literally went to hundreds of different doctors. And no, none of them could offer me any help, just like many of your other patients that come to you, and you're the first doctor that they go to where you can help them.
Right.
But the irony is with me is, sorry, you can help them and you do help them. But the irony with me is that after all those doctors offered me no help, I am now on the faculty of the University of Miami School of Medicine and Boston University School of Medicine, and I, as a lawyer, teach medical students the environment's impact on human health. And can you imagine how messed up this system must be that they have to have a lawyer teach their students the environment's impact on human health as opposed to a doctor teaching them? I mean, it's pretty bad. I mean, like, for example, 90, according to the World Health Organization, 90% of all people on this planet are breathing unhealthy air. And according to the American Cancer Society, one out of every three women are going to get cancer. One out of every two men are going to get cancer. And 80% of all cancers is caused by the environment that you're exposed to, whether it be what you eat, what you drink, what you touch, or what you breathe. And the other big killer is heart disease, cardiovascular disease. They
Yeah.
used to think it was just about diet and exercise. They now know it's also about what you breathe and what you touch. And according to Harvard Medical School, if you live within 3 miles of a freeway, your chances of getting cardiovascular disease triples. Why? Because you're breathing the air from
Well, these small
the
particles,
cars.
I know. You know, it's fascinating. I had on the podcast just a few months ago, and this particular doctor and his company were commissioned by the New York Times to do, this was what I thought really fascinating. He's like the world expert on hair analysis. And he was explaining on the podcast to me, really fascinating, all the different kind of chemicals and even minerals that your hair tells you, much more than your blood. But yeah, like what you're saying is this is so critical. It's something, I mean, I'm glad they're lucky Miami and Boston have you on it, because there really are just so many even top medical schools that have nobody. And, you know, they really have to galvanize and get people interested to realize just, you know, this is just as important as anything. Just because, you know, the medicine, unfortunately, for many years, and maybe it's starting to change, but it was always what always motivated, I think, even the medical students and everything, was the exciting technology, the new procedures, you know, and this is just something that is so widespread. And again, people are fascinated about diet, but this is just as important, maybe even more important.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I have a colleague who was the senior vice president of Warner Brothers.
Uh-huh.
And she came down with a form of blood cancer.
Mm.
And she owned a home there that, you know, that it was one of the ones that burned down. And they're telling her and everybody else to go back into their homes. And these are producers, okay? These are like high-level, rich
people. Yeah,
wealthy
people. Yeah, smart, wealthy people, you know, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's turn for a second to a little bit to your legal hat. You know, one of the most difficult, you know, as I mentioned, we were talking earlier, I see a lot of the CIRS, what we call toxic mold patients. I mean, fortunately, having trained with some really top people like Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jill Krista, I have a whole protocol that we help a lot of people in that scenario. So that's very satisfying to me. But what's the hard part for me is the living situation. You know, so many times people come to me, I have sometimes have people who live in public housing and they're battling with the landlord, won't find them a new place. Of course, even people that are more well off, it's very traumatic having to move out of your home. Where do you see what's going on maybe in your work in the legal aspect of this? Like, what kind of rights do people have, you know, to breathe in clean air? When does it become a legal case, like where they need to sue, whether it's the landlord or the building where they think they're getting sick from?
Well, every state is different. Every state has a different set of laws, and therefore every state governs the rights, you know, that its citizens have in their states. California is probably one of the most liberal states in the country that has strong laws in protecting tenants, okay? New York, you know, the law in New York, you would think New York is a liberal state, but they don't really protect they don't have strong laws in protecting its occupants for toxins. So, you know, there's no governmental agency that's going to go in there and interfere and protect their rights. So the only thing they could do is get their own tests done, pay for their own tests, like with Joe Reese, or he's the best in your neck of the woods. You know, calling a Joe Reese is an industrial hygienist who, if there's mold, he'll find it.
Oh, then, he'll find. He did my house. He actually found volatile organic compound. I mean, he was just incredible. I always tease people. When I tell my patients about him, I said he comes in like the guys from Ghostbusters with his headlamp and his equipment, and he'll find the problem.
Yeah, he's one of the best, and you know, I deal with him all. I deal with these cases all over the country, and he certainly is one of the best. I mean, like right now, I mean, in the past year, I've had cases in California, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Nebraska, New York. Have I missed anything? Boston.
So do you have to have license in each one of these states, or they have to bring it back to California?
No, no, you do it in that state, but what I'll do is I'll bring in a local lawyer with me that's licensed in that state, and then I could come in on a pro hoc vice basis and work with them on it.
Okay.
But, you know,
I've heard, Al, this is so true too. Again, I've dealt with a couple of local lawyers, you know, which very few that want to do this work. Is it also, because it's not like obviously an Aaron Brockovich kind of situation, unless it's like multiple people. Like, is it just that, because it's not really financially as remunerative for these attorneys?
Well, yeah, you know, there's very few lawyers that are going to do one plaintiff at a time because it's not worth the money.
I see.
The only way they'll get involved generally is if there's a lot of them, 10 of them, 20 of them, 30 of them, 40 of them, 50 of them. But generally one, it's, you know, it's hard to prove it. Okay. Mold is everywhere. The defense says mold's everywhere. Mold's in the courtroom. The jury's breathing mold while they're deciding this case, and they're not sick. So why are you going to give this person money that claims they're sick? It's an invisible thing, a microscopic thing that's difficult to sell a jury on. You have to put a lot of money into it. It's a big gamble. These cases take 2 to 3 years to go through the system to ultimately be resolved. You know, the only thing you can recover is lost wages, medical bills, and pain and suffering.
I'd like to take a moment to let my listeners know that my new book, Conquering Candida, is now available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. If you believe you suffer from Candida, this is the first book in 50 years since the original book, The Yeast Connection by Dr. William Crook, to give credence to this underdiagnosed and undertreated condition. If you also want to understand gut health and the microbiome, I also believe you will enjoy this book. I do appreciate if you read this book to rate it on Amazon and provide your comments and a review.
Let me ask you if I could go back to two. I know you mentioned a little bit in the book. So how did you also financially survive? Did you have savings? Were you able to? It sounds like it was pretty hard. You couldn't really be practicing law when you were that sick.
Right. Well, I did have savings, but more importantly, I had a family that stood behind me.
Supportive.
Yeah. My brother really, really, you know, saved.
Oh, you mentioned that in the book. Right, right.
Yeah. He really helped me.
Wow, that's terrific. Yes, so important. That's another thing in general when anybody's got a chronic illness. If you're lucky enough to have people care about you and can help you a little bit financially, it could be the make or break. So, Alan, what would you tell the listeners, God forbid they're in this kind of a situation, and now with your perspective, what would be the maybe couple of steps, first two or three steps you would tell them to do?
Well, is this at what stage? At
Well, that's
what
a good point.
stage?
But I would say at the stage where hopefully they're not as in extreme situation as you were. Like, I mean, they're chronically fatigued, they're having pains, they've been to 10 or 15 doctors, nobody seems to know what's wrong with them. Maybe they find out that they've been working in a building where there's either been mold or toxic chemical or pesticides.
Got it. So my answer is trust your body. Don't trust doctors. Don't trust anybody. Listen to your own body. And if you are experiencing symptoms that is not you, you know better than anybody that there's something wrong. And then try and pay attention to the times that you feel worse and the times that you feel better. And that's really important because if you only feel bad when you go to work, there's something in your work environment that's making you sick. If you feel better when you're at work, but you feel worse at home, then the opposite is true. You have to be your own detective. Nobody is going
That
to.
is such a great point. I sometimes shared a lot with patients. I had this one patient, lovely woman. She was actually British, but she'd been living here in New York from, Long Island for many years with her husband. And she was getting swelling all over her face. It was almost unrecognizable. And she was fatigued and she had joint pain. And they thought she had an autoimmune disease, but she went to see a rheumatologist who did all the testing and said, you do have a positive, what we call ANA, but it doesn't really point to anything specific. And her primary doctor was actually a friend of mine. He says, go see Dr. Mitchell. Sometimes he's pretty good at these unusual cases. And I had to be honest. I listened to her. We did our initial consultation. It was about 30 minutes. And I'm listening to it. And I'm like, the swelling, she couldn't put her rings on. And she showed me pictures of her face that, looked distorted. And I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And then she said one thing right at the end that changed everything. She said to me, Dr. Mitchell, she goes, there's just one thing I can't figure out. She goes, like a month or two ago, I went back to England because my mom was sick and went there for about 3 weeks. And during those 3 weeks, my face went back to normal. I was able to put my rings on. My joint pain went down. And I said, bingo, I think we're onto something. And I had Joe Reese go investigate their home. She wasn't aware. She had toxic mold all over the house. Wasn't even aware of it. So
Yeah.
anyway,
I mean, your body is your
well, you're
best
a canary in the
indicator.
coal mine. Well, that's the other thing. I wonder if you feel this way too. I mean, I'm sure you unfortunately do. It's like I tell patients, it's the double-edged sword, good and bad. Once you've gone through something like this, when you go to a place and you don't feel right, if you stay at a hotel or a friend's house, your body's telling you something. And I know on the one hand, it's very annoying. You want to be able to go away on vacation or see friends. On the other hand, it's the warning signal saying, don't stay here too long because it's not good for you.
If I had listened to my body, I would never have ended up like this. I would have never ended up like this. I kept going into the building. I kept getting sick. I'd go home on weekends. I was fine. I took a week off. I was fine. I kept going into the building and I didn't listen to my body. I listened to the doctors who didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
Well, this is really important advice. I mean, as I said, coming from someone who's gone through this, and I don't think doctor, it's interesting. I don't think doctors say that enough to patients. Listen to your own body. It's like we always feel like we're gonna fix it. And I've become very humble. I don't fix anything. It's from the guy upstairs with the help of, a lot of other people. Alan, I just have to say again, your book Poison is just incredible. The work that you've done, incredible. Is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with? Because you've given them so many important things to think about.
Well, I think you're covered a lot. You're a great host. You're doing some amazing things with patients. I know some of them are my
Thank you.
clients that have seen you, and I would just applaud you and encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. There's very few immunologists in this country that are helping people like you are. I could tell you that. That's why I'm sending clients to, some of my clients to you. I got one guy coming from California to see you because there's no immunologist that I'm aware of here that that does what you do. I just think I just think prevention is the key. And if you can arm people with knowledge so they can modify their lifestyle, they can help prevent themselves and their families from becoming another statistic. That's why I wrote that book. I listed the top 20 ways to modify your lifestyle, minimize your risk, and the top 10 chemicals that are the most egregious and where they're found and how to avoid them. I've got a YouTube channel with a lot of podcast presentations you could go on to. I've got a website you could go on to. It's allenbell.me, where you could see a lot of, a lot of speeches, a lot of media coverage, and some of the cases that I've been doing. And it's just a matter of, a critical mass of like-minded people wanting to help the rest of them, people out there that have nowhere else to turn to for help.
No, again, I applaud the work that you've done. I applaud you for what you've overcome. It's really quite impressive. And I hope we do something again.
That would be great.
Alan, thank you so much. By the way, you healed up very good. I'm very impressed. I saw it was a little, I had it on my nose. I'm telling you, I was lucky it was COVID. I was wearing a mask all the time. It took me like 3 months to, they're doing a nice job there.
Right. Well, the shadows are covering it. It's right here.
All right, yeah, it's okay. It's
But
a
it's
little
getting
bit of,
better.
yes, yeah, it'll be the least of your things, but it, yeah, it'll heal up. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me here on UK Health Radio. I'm Dr. Dean Mitchell. If today's conversation was useful to you, please share it with someone who could benefit. You can find every episode of The Smartest Doctor in the Room wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, stay well.